Hey there, Bucks fans. Quick points of note before we get started on the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Thursday night is our draft party, Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa, on Dale Mabry, outdoors. It all gets started about 5:30. Music outside, full menu inside, buffet option, and the draft will be outside where you can view indoors as well. Hundreds of people expected. It's just a fun time with a lot of fun Bucks fans. Thank you to Buffalo Wild Wings Bud Light, providing the beer and all kinds of specials. We're just excited to be with Bucks fans who just are so hardcore about the draft, and it's an all-night kind of affair. So get out there. Ira Kaufman himself will be out there, and he is always accepting free drinks, free food, free gifts, and anything else that you have to give him. General manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. In fact, that's the way it is at Ed Morse. Over 1.2 million people have been backed by Morse with their price protection promise. And right now, during the Move Up sales event, drive a 2019 XT4 Premium Luxury just $299 a month. Plus, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa will make your first payment. Visit edmorsecadillactampa.com. edmorsecadillactampa.com for all the details at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon right there on their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. All the great offers for this month are laid out for you. 2019 Cadillac CTS, $399 lease per month. 2019 Cadillac XT4, the all-new XT4, $339 lease per month, and your first payment is waived. edmorsecadillacbrandon.com is the website, and the dealership there is right on Causeway Boulevard. Hector LeBron, general manager, ask for him. He will take care of you personally. He's happy to give that personal service. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Thanks to them for sponsoring all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. They make him possible to continue entertaining and being the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Here's the Ira Kaufman podcast. Enjoy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the latest edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast, the world-renowned Ira Kaufman podcast, who recently threw out Nancy Grace of the top 50. You returned to the top 50, albeit briefly, but you were back there, Ira.
She's resilient, Lee. You got to kill her off. You can't just stun her and think she's going to go away. She made her bones on the O.J. Simpson trial. Nobody ever heard of her before that. You know, for 9 months, she was a constant presence. I got news for you. That trial's old news. The Bucks are fresh news. Now, speaking of arch criminals, that brings us to the Buccaneers. Now, you and I were out here among the throng. 85-degree heat, that doesn't matter to us. You, of course, were in the shade. I'm out there sweating with the masses. We look out, we saw Bruce Arians in a golf cart, and we thought he was having a fine old time, maybe having a sip of Arnold Palmer iced tea. But it turns out that when Jameis Winston came to the podium after practice, and somebody said, "Hey, we saw Arians out in that golf cart. It looks like he was on vacation." Winston said, "Wait a minute. He's on top of everything out there. He's communicating with Bowles. He's communicating with Leftwich. He's communicating with everybody based on what he's seeing." And he likened it to a puppet master. And all these other people are the puppets, and he's playing the strings. So, Lee, you've heard me say this before on the podcast, and, you know, it's not like it's keeping me up at night, but I have thrown out there he might delegate a little too much authority mm-hmm. for my liking, mm-hmm. you know, because he is the guy that's the two-time coach of the year, not Byron Leftwich. I understand that. Leftwich is, you know, his accomplishments are ahead of him. You know, Arians is right there in the peak of his career with a strong resume. So Winston set us straight, at least for today, saying, "Don't be fooled by what looks like, you know, a dispassionate attitude by Arians. I'm letting my guys do their things." He's right in the middle of it. I think that's good news for Buffalo.
So he's not Bobby Bowden in the golf cart.
He's not Bobby Bowden, who famously let Joe Henderson interview him during the fourth quarter of an ongoing football game.
On the sidelines.
Absolutely unheard of.
Yeah.
We're going to tell that story one day.
Yeah, we've told it before, but it's still it's amazing.
It's just an amazing story.
It was an amazing story. But Bowden, in his last couple years, had a habit. He'd either sit in his golf cart, or he'd go up to the coach's tower and take a nap during practice. But that was not Arians.
And, of course, you know, you had Bear Bryant from the tower.
Yeah.
But nobody made any mistakes. Bryant was running that practice.
And who did Arians learn from?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. That's a great point.
Bear Bryant.
Yeah, he quotes him all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Lee, apparently, just a couple of things to pick on in practice. Arians couldn't stop gushing about Winston, going through progressions. Arians was asked whether he thought getting his guys out on the field, albeit without pads, albeit just a little informal workout, voluntary, does he think that's an advantage? It's a help going into Thursday night's draft? He said, absolutely. You can look, Lee, it makes sense. You can look at all the tape you want. You can talk, you know, to Todd Monken all you want over the telephone. Hey, what was it working with this guy, whatever? What can he do well? What can he? And it's different to get them out on the field.
Now, has he done that?
I don't know that
okay,
he has.
Okay.
By the way, one of the guys that was really praised besides Winston, Perryman. And even Winston said, boy, that guy can fly.
Yeah.
He's going to be this year's DeSean Jackson. Mm. He doesn't have the pedigree of a DeSean Jackson. But, Lee, we watched aghast. There's your word for today, aghast.
A-G-H-A-S-T.
For 2 years, as Winston continued to misfire when it came to DeSean Jackson. For whatever reason, overthrown, underthrown. You know what struck me? The balls weren't even close enough to draw a pass interference.
That's
flag.
True.
And that, my friends, is inexcusable.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you got Cutter every week telling you how much DeSean Jackson's sitting out there in the open. He's doing all the right things. We don't know how true that is because you said DeSean Jackson's got a fragile ego and Winston does not. So that, mm-hmm. that might have been played into Cutter's role.
Yeah, I still think a lot that Cutter did was to stroke DeSean Jackson's
ego. I think, Lee, Perryman is a work in progress. Doesn't have a lot on his resume.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's good to have him on this roster. It's good to bring him into training camp. Say what you want about Evans and Godwin, and Evans is a pro bowler.
Perennial. Yeah.
Godwin's an up-and-comer. But they don't stretch the field. They're not known for yards after catch.
Goodwin a little bit.
Maybe
Evans,
a little
no.
bit. Now, Goodwin's average per, you know, he's averaging about 14, 15 yards. Yeah, Godwin.
Yeah, Godwin.
But you need a little bit of a home run hitter, and you throw to him once in a while to make sure these guys know, hey, we got to keep an eye on this guy, and it helps so they can't constrict the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Bucs didn't have DeSean Jackson, the field was very constricted.
3 years ago.
Yeah. Teams didn't respect the long pass. So anyway, those are some of the things. Now, Lee, I'm going to throw this out at you. I'm not sure you heard Arians say this. I thought it was interesting. I asked him about the draft. I was going to ask him, who you taking Thursday night, Bruce? Because, you know, he's so wild and crazy, he might give you a name. But I did. But I did say, you know, Bruce, you get a knockout offer while the first round's in progress. Somebody wants to move up to 5. They want you to move back. How comfortable would you be? How far back would you be willing to move and still be comfortable that you're going to get that stud player that you demand in the first round of an NFL draft? He goes, it would have to be one hellacious offer to move back. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's dead set on somebody.
And then he said what I think is probably the most intriguing thing he said during his 10, 11 minutes at the podium. There's 5 or 6 knockout players. He said 5, and then he said, I think 6 knockout players in this draft. And if you sit at 5, tell me if my math is wrong. You're guaranteed to get one of them, Lee. If there's 6 of them, you are guaranteed. If there's 5 of them, you are guaranteed.
I'm proud to say I graduated Eastern Illinois University without taking a math class.
And there you go. And I don't think he was talking about Kyler Murray. I don't think he was talking about Kyler Murray.
I kind of doubt it, too.
You know, so he's talking about 5 studs.
Softly, believe it or not. And there was such a throng around him, and I was just on the perimeter. I was taking photos, and I really couldn't hear him a whole lot.
You have learned not to be on the perimeter for Bruce Arians.
Yeah,
that's right.
I learned that. So, yeah, I learned now if you want to hear him, you got to be up front. So I really couldn't hear hardly anything he said, but I did hear one thing that he said. It was related to his roster. They said, was the offense, you know, it's got a lot of weapons.
We scored a lot of points last year.
Yeah, it's your first practice, we understand. Do you have what you think it takes to have a good offense? What do you think of your defense? And he said, offense, yeah, we got pieces. And he said, defense, we need more pieces.
We need more pieces.
And that was kind of a dead giveaway
to me.
That's
a dead giveaway what to expect with the premium picks of the draft.
Yeah, he said, if I remember right, his direct quote was, we have some pieces, we need more.
Now, Lee, I don't know if you heard this. Another great answer by Arians. I said, Bruce, where do you stand on this debate about need versus best player on remaining on your draft board. The first thing he said was, you draft solely for need, that's a way to get fired. That's what he said. But he answered, and this is the critical part that Buck fans can relate to. You got four guys, they're close. One of them matches one of your priority needs, that's who you take. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
If they're close. Now, if they have, I don't think this could happen in a million years, but if they got greedy Williams, you know, at number five, and four guys are off the board, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, got a major grade above Ed Oliver, mm-hmm. Maybe you take greedy Williams. It's a need. It's a need.
That's logical.
It's logical. I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think anybody's got greedy Williams listed that high. And by the way, Lee, you saw this today. You scour the internet like nobody's business. I'm a D. You're an A+ regard. Lee, am I hearing some murmurings that Patrick Peterson could be available?
There was some murmurings.
What's going on with Patrick Peterson?
He, like a lot of players, he went on Instagram and had a vague comment, and it drives people crazy. I guess he got upset with some management types at Arizona.
This is the second time he's being involved in rumors.
Yeah, apparently it was shot down pretty quickly.
Somebody had him ticketed to the Chiefs. That got shot down.
Yeah, well, it was all, like I said, players, DeSean Jackson was notorious for this, putting out obscure, vague comments, and he wants people to read into it, whatever they want to read into it. And Peterson, like a lot of players do, he had some kind of vague comment. It had a picture of his defensive teammates, and he said, you can't trust snakes in the grass or something like that. And he took off every reference on his Instagram about the Arizona Cardinals. So people started connecting dots. Then Antonio Bryant comes out of nowhere, and he says, I hear he's being traded to the Chiefs.
All of a sudden, Antonio Bryant is the voice of reason around here? We remember that guy when he was around here.
Uh-huh. Well, he's on crusade to get the Bucks to go back to the creamsicles.
Oh, okay.
And, but he puts out there the Chiefs. He's going to be traded to the Chiefs.
Now,
the only reason I brought this up
look, he's a hell of a player.
Yes.
He's arguably the premier cornerback, has been for about 5 years. The only reason I bring it up, the connection with Arians.
Yes.
And a big need for the Bucs.
And Bowles, too.
So, I'm not saying he's available. What I am saying is, if he is available, wouldn't the Bucs be interested?
Oh, depending on the price? They'd have to be. The problem is that salary. That's why they're going to get rid of McCoy. By the way, did Arians address McCoy whatsoever?
Very nondescript.
Okay. Roundabout way.
He didn't say he's not going to be a Buck this fall. Never says that.
Mm-hmm.
But no ringing endorsements either. And by the way, Lavonte David wasn't here. He said a couple of guys that were involved, those pregnancies.
I heard that involved in pregnancies.
Involved in pregnancies. That's a hell of a line, Lily.
That's a beautiful line.
There was a time when I was involved with a pregnancy. And maybe a few more times that I don't know about. But that's a story for another day. But the turnout was pretty good. Now, of course, I walk in, they want to know who I want to talk to. First guy I go, Lavonte David. Not here. Boom.
Here's something for you. Now, Izbitz dug this up, and he ran it. A week ago, week and a half ago, the first round draft picks from Arians at Arizona, woeful.
Jonathan Cooper, who else did you come up with?
Oh, they were all bad. I mean, I can't pronounce the guy's name. He's a defensive lineman. They basically drafted him to replace Calais Campbell. He's a stiff. But I mean, they're all brutal. Brutal.
Oh, I know who you mean. That Nadichi.
Yeah, something like that. I think he played at Ole Miss, if I remember right.
Never made an impact.
Only impact he made was on his bank account. But they were brutal.
Now, one of those years they drafted David Johnson. I mean, and it wasn't in the first round.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a pick.
Yeah, and I was going to get to that. But last night, and I don't know the guy's name, he covers the Cardinals for the Arizona Republic. It's not your boy Kent Summers.
I think his first name might be Bob.
Well, he put out last night on Twitter, since Steve Keim took over in 2013, which is when Arians came in.
And it was the 1 year that they worked together with Jason Light,
mm-hmm.
2013.
It was 2013. Since Steve Keim came on board, over half of his draft picks are gone. Over half of his draft picks are gone. That's not good.
And that's six drafts he took.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good.
And to be fair, and I wrote about this before, Arians, you know, on All or Nothing, when they thought they had Amir Abdullah and Keim was distraught that he thought he had Amir Abdullah. He had him on the phone, and while he's on the phone, Amir Abdullah, hey, the Lions are trying to call me. And Steve Keim's watching on TV as the Lions picked him. Wow. And he was on the phone with him, and Keim was distraught. At any rate, they went to Plan B. Plan B was David Johnson. In that episode, you can see Arians pushing Michael Bidwell, the president of the Cardinals. Hey, I really like this David Johnson, Northern Iowa. He had
he
this
can do a lot of things.
And that was a home run hit. That was a home run hit in the third or fourth round. Home run hit. Well, Arians was there for all but last year. And while he was working with Keim, their draft picks are terrible.
Yeah.
And
that's why the Cardinals were the worst team in football last year. It catches up with you. Exactly. We know that story. Buck fans know that
all
story.
All too well.
All too well. Now, Lee, you said you talked to Justin Evans. I saw here's what I saw. You were the first guy that, you know, rolled up on Justin Evans. I take three more steps and turn around, and now there's six reporters around him.
Oh,
you're a ringleader over there, Kemper.
I saw Stroud roll up.
What kind of mood was Evans in, and then what'd he say?
Justin Evans has always been really good with me, always willing to talk.
I thought he might have taken a step back last year. It's disturbing.
Yes, he'd say. And I wrote a story while I was waiting for you to finish up with Jameis. I wrote a quick story about a couple quotes from him and about McCoy, which I'll get to momentarily here. And he's always been really cool. And Justin Evans has always been way cool. When I say he's always willing to talk, I don't mean he's talkative. Like, you know, hey, Justin Evans, yeah, he's very cooperative. And, you know, I said, hey, you're a veteran now. You know, you're going into your third year. I think it's fair
to say.
That's
amazing to say you're a veteran now.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say you're a veteran. And he kind of laughed or smiled, you know, shrugged his shoulders. I said, how weird is not having McCoy here? And he admitted it's weird. He goes, hey, he's one of our defensive leaders. He's not here. I said, well, how are you handling it? Are you missing him? I mean, do you need him around? What about that? And he's like, this is the NFL, next man up. His exact quote was, I don't know about the situation between him and the Bucs.
Players don't like to talk about another player's business.
Yes. And he said, he goes, it's the NFL, next man up, next person up. Person's word he used, next person up.
Did he say anything, Lee, about, you know, what their system's going to be, how he thinks about Todd Bowles?
He didn't go into detail, and I emphasize this is underwear football. It's the very first time they've got on the field with Bruce Arians. First time on the field, first time doing anything that looks even remotely like a practice, but it's underwear football. No pads, they're allowed to wear a helmet, they're wearing shorts, they're wearing a practice jersey, that's it. And I asked him, I said, I know it's so early, but what's the difference between what you were used to in the past and what Bowles and Arians are trying to do? And he basically said, Bowles is trying to put them in position. He goes, all the defensive backs, he's trying to put them in a position to make plays.
How many years have we been saying this, Lee? You build your defense around your talent, not the other way around.
To me, that's coaching 101.
101?
It should be 101.
And who's the master? Freaking Belichick.
Oh, isn't he, though?
Isn't he?
The best. I used to cringe when you say he's better than Lombardi.
I don't know that I said that, but he's in the conversation.
Oh, he's better. Lombardi never had a salary cap. Lombardi never had to deal with free agency.
That's tough for you to say.
And to me, Lombardi is the best.
And I think even the Mad Dog is saying he loves Lombardi.
He's come around.
Yeah.
He's come around. But yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Belichick fan. When I say that, I just think he's a dour individual. He's a very unlikable guy. He's difficult to warm up to. But you can't knock his success at all. And what he has done the past decade, I think it's unprecedented. I really do. So if someone came up to me, and you in the past, you said, you know, I kind of think this guy's the best. I used to cringe. Now I don't think there's any doubt about it. There's no debate. There should be no debate. But you're right.
I think the Chiefs had more talent. I think the Rams had more talent. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, he's hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Oh, it seems like.
You know?
But you know what? He, to your point, and what Justin Evans is starting to get, or started to hint at, he goes, okay, what's Belichick's famous saying? Don't tell me what he can't do. Tell me what he can do. And he finds guys to do certain little things, and he puts them in position to do those certain little things. Lessens the chance of them to make a mistake.
And changes up every week depending on the opponent.
I know.
That is tremendous.
That's coaching. That's coaching 101. You don't do the same thing over and over and over because that's my scheme. And that's when, you know, it's one thing I've learned ever since I started Joe Bucks fan in the 11 years that Steve and I have had Joe Bucks fan going, it didn't take me long to learn. Never underestimate egos. Some coaches and some general managers, their egos get in the way.
They think they've got to win their way.
They think they got it all figured out. never, and I learned that. I tell friends of mine, you know, what's it like covering the NFL? And I said, never let ego, never underestimate egos. Some of these guys' egos, they cloud their vision. They really do. Shannon thought he had everything figured out. And
Lovey was set in his ways.
Oh, my gosh. Lovey thought he was Tom Landry. He really did.
And the game has changed. The game has
big
changed.
Big time. He never did.
Now, I was up close and personal with Winston. I don't think you were. Winston says he talks to McCoy every week.
Does he?
He says McCoy's been working out. Yeah. Not at $1, mm-hmm. but he's been working out. Got a good frame of mind. He said, I'd love him to be my teammate at any time. He offered absolutely not one hint that McCoy is going to be at $1 place this fall. Mm-hmm. Not one. And I've said this before, Lee. It comes out again. The guy says it all the time. And some people think it's hokey. Some people think it's a put-on. It's a stance. It's not genuine. What I'm talking about is, and you've seen it, Lee, Justin Evans would see right through.
Yeah, sniff it out.
That never changes.
He's got this youthful, unbridled joy. He's a kid in a candy store. You get him on a football field. He loves it. And like you said, you don't fake that kind of stuff.
That's like, you know, it reminds me when I was 12. I couldn't wait to get out to the schoolyard.
Uh-huh.
You know, and now he's a rich guy. And yeah. Sometimes they lose that.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose that. He doesn't change about that.
Stick ball for you, right, Ira?
A little stick ball, basketball. You couldn't slip a paper underneath my sneakers. That's how little of a jump I had. That's how little no I elevated. Shot? And whoever was covering me, I'm like 5'1" at that time. I've always got a 5'6" guy covering me. I can't see the basket.
Were you a power guard?
No. I was an assist man. I had good peripheral vision.
Oh, okay.
And I could hit a shot from the corner if I'm wide open. That's it. So, I didn't have a push shot with two hands.
Not like that old, huh?
Like they used to do in the 50s. But look, for a first day, well, you can't read anything at the first day. You're the first guy that says that. But it was successful. And Arian said, boy, did he miss it. Boy, he couldn't wait.
Now, there was something I saw early in practice, and I actually clocked it. You know, Arians wants these guys to have, as much as they can, individual brain sessions with the coaches. He's got so many assistants. I don't know who the assistant coach was. You know, I haven't gotten to know these guys. And there's like, I call it an army of assistants. He's got two dozen. There was an assistant offensive line coach for 20 minutes, worked one-on-one with Alex Kappa. 20 minutes.
See, now that is the benefit of having a big staff, mm-hmm. Lee. It's two sides to it. Mm-hmm. One, it might be a little unwieldy. How do you like that one? But two, you get more private attention. And I think Arians could bend that to his advantage a little bit.
20 minutes, just this guy and Kappa. Now, sometimes the guy had a blocking dummy. Sometimes he didn't. Sometimes they're doing karate chop stuff, martial arts with the hands. 20 minutes, one-on-one with Kappa.
Lee, this is our final podcast before the draft. I will be at the party Thursday. You will be at $1, keeping us up to date on all the developments here. Lee, final words.
And my friends.
I'll go first, and I'll leave the finale to you. Here's what I expect Thursday night. I think the Bucks will stay at number 5. They won't move up, and they won't move down. If they move up for a Quinn and Williams to the 2 or 3 spot, that guy's got to be Aaron Donald. That's a lot of pressure. In other words, now you're saying this guy towers above Oliver, mm-hmm. Josh Allen.
Good point.
When you do that, that guy has to be great.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be great. So I think they stick at 5, and you're going to smile. They take a D lineman, and it could be a Josh Allen, who might be a pretty darn good fit in a 3-4.
That's what I'm thinking.
He could be one of those edge rushers. You know, you throw Shaq Griffin on the left side, you throw him on the right side, you might have something there, relying on Noah Spence. You're not.
That's a reach, Noah. And I have nothing against Noah. You know, I'd love nothing more than the guy who blows up this year. But after the way he fell off the map last year, that would be a reach.
Lee, I'll sign off with this one and turn it to you. Having said that, I don't think it's crazy for the Bucks to get back into the bottom of the first round, perhaps using McCoy as a bargaining chip along with their second round pick to move up to 29 so they get the 5th. And it's got to be somebody sitting there at 29 that they think if they let another 8 picks go, that guy's going to be gone. And I'll say one thing about Light. Very spotty record in terms of free agency in the draft. His intel on other teams, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good over the years. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of his strengths. So I think they're going to know, hey, if we let another eight spots go by until we pick again in the second round, this guy's going to be gone.
Well, you know what? You bring up something very interesting. There was a guy, and I linked to the story on JoeBucksFantasy.com. It's speculation, of course. But he said there's going to be at least a team, maybe two teams, that had their hearts set on Quinnen Williams, or they had their hearts set on Ed Oliver, or this Rashard Gary out of Michigan.
Who seems to be falling.
Yeah, he was falling, and it turns out he's got a torn up shoulder. So maybe that's one reason why he was a ghost against Indiana and Rutgers, the dregs of the Big Ten. But this guy speculated there's going to be a couple of teams out there that had their hearts set on a defensive tackle and struck out.
Because he got taken before they chose.
Yes, and they're going to be hungry for McCoy. Because they know McCoy's going to be out there.
That's interesting. Now, of course, the big thing with McCoy is his salary.
You know, people ask, why hasn't he been traded? I said, oh, I can give you 13 million reasons why.
Lee, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's going to happen Thursday night?
It's not what I want. It's what I think. And I'm not getting any vibe from anywhere that this is going to be different. All the people supposedly in the know, the Albert Breers, the Peter Kings, Ed Al, etc., they're all saying this linebacker from LSU, this White. I'm bracing myself.
I've seen some that have White sticking on the board till number 12. I've seen a few.
Well, like I said, Albert Breer's pretty plugged in. We all know Peter King's pretty plugged in. I respect both of them a ton. I mean, who's got better sources than Peter King?
You know who used to have the mock draft?
Gosling.
Rick Gosling.
Who's Gosling?
Rick Gosling.
There's a website out there, and I want to say it's called The Huddle or The Huddle Report. They monitor all these guys who do mock drafts.
Wow.
And they go by 5 years. They're like, okay, how many do you get right in the first round?
Match
how
the
many
player in the team?
Yes.
Yes.
How many you got right? Gosling was always in the top three. Always.
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 Boy, he put a lot of work into it. Lee, we'll be back after the draft.
We should have some Buccaneers.
Who knows? Maybe we'll have a weekend podcast.
An emergency podcast.
Emergency
Ira podcast. But Ira, it's your podcast. You get the last word. What's the over and under again about Riesling?
5.5.
5.5.
Shots.
Oh, I'm betting on it.
Now I gotta drive too, so that's a fact.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm putting $20 on the under. All right, get out of here, Ira.